This is Mary Jane, and I'm outside the Casbah with Data Rock.
Hello, I'm Rocksteady Freddy. I'm the singer, guitar player, play the drums, keyboards, blah 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 on the album. On stage I sing and play the guitar.
Recently released your debut CD in the States earlier in the summer, but you guys have been around for years and playing gigs for years before this.
Yeah.
So how have you guys come to be today from where you started?
Oh, that's been a long way. It's we started in 2000, late summer 2000. In the beginning we were supposed to be four guys, and then one of the guys moved back to Boston, and eventually the second guy left too. So it was basically me and Kettle, and the first show we did was 16th of December back home in Bergen at Annie's Club called Pop 2 Drop. And after that we started releasing limited edition vinyl and limited edition 3-inch CDs, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then by some reason our stuff was picked up, so we started getting bookings to abroad clubs and festivals around the world, and now we've done almost 400 shows in 28 countries, and we still don't quite know why. I don't know what happened, but I know one thing has been... Oh, listen to that. That's an airplane. what happened was probably that a lot of people got themselves computers, and access to the internet had a lot of... Well, it was very helpful for us, because we've always had terrible distribution, and we never had management, and we didn't really have professional help of any kind. So things just started getting spread through illegal downloads, I assume. So that's what happened. The internet boomed. Last year, something very strange happened. Suddenly we were part of a brand new genre called New Rave. Do you have that term here? New Rave?
Yeah, we do.
All right. And then suddenly, our album released on our own label called Young Aspiring Professionals. Another plane. The album was initially released on our own label called Young Aspiring Professionals back in March 2005. But then late 2006, suddenly that album was more relevant than ever. And it was perceived as so modern and new, and suddenly NME started writing big features on us, and we did a 22 gigs tour with NME in the UK. Mm-hmm. And that opened up the eyes of a lot of people around the world, because NME, you know, NME has distribution across the world, and lots of journalists looks to NME for new bands and stuff. So I think NME and the internet.
Right. Okay, well, how would you describe your music to someone who's not familiar with the band?
Well, our music is extremely diverse, I'd say. The one song that people might have heard is Fa Fa Fa. That's kind of like an updated version of Talking Heads, perhaps. Classic indie dance band in a tradition that goes back to, say, A Certain Ratio and Happy Mondays, and later on you've had bands like Chick 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 and LCD Sound System, stuff like that. But I don't know how to explain it in two sentences. Indie dance, that's the word.
So I'm sure you guys are very tired of talking about the red tracksuits.
No, it's okay.
But I just wanted to say that he is wearing it. And what made you decide to come up with matching outfits? Where did this come from? And how does it reflect the sort of music that you're playing?
I don't know if it reflects anything, to be honest. But no, ever since we started off, Devo has been a big influence. And I think because much of the music we were inspired by were bands from the late 70s, early 80s, from New York City or from London. Being inspired by something far away in time and place creates a big sort of a gap between our personality and what we do. I think in the tradition of, say, bands like Devo, we did want to sort of create an alter ego for the stage performance, and we wanted to take inspiration from, you know, late 70s, early 80s performance artists like, say, Laurie Anderson. So even for the very first gig, we said that we wanted our show to be a very shabby, poor version of what Laurie Anderson used to do. But then, you know, that whole thing of performance artist / musician is, you know, today it would, well, back then, 2000, I think that would have been perceived as pretty pretentious. But we were definitely not pretentious. We still had the humor that you find in the music now. So initially we had white costumes on stage, white identical costumes. But then a lot of bands started wearing the white costumes on stage, and it became pretentious again, sort of. You know, lots of bands that wanted to do some, well, take themselves a little bit too seriously, certainly looked a little bit like us. So we wanted to, you know, find a stage costume that wasn't pretentious and hadn't been done 1,000 times before. So then we moved into Formula One track suits, but we couldn't really afford buying Formula One suits because they're like thousands and thousands of dollars. So we made our own shabby shit costumes that looked so bad, but at least they were red and funny. And okay, then we jump a few years. And then we're in March 2005, and we were supposed to release the album, and we had to make a video for Fa Fa Fa. And we wanted to have 40 people in the video, so we called this Norwegian snowboard brand, because I knew they had these red tracksuits, and I said, we're making a video, we don't have a budget, we want everybody to look the same, your tracksuits are kind of cool. Because they, you know, they sort of look like early 80s tracksuits. And then they said, yeah, sure. So they sent over 40 tracksuits for us. You can actually still see the video on YouTube. I think it's called the old video for Fa Fa Fa. And then because we used the tracksuits in the video, it wasn't any good explanation, really. It wasn't like a tribute to Beastie Boys or early hip-hop. It was just tracksuits became, I suppose, popular with our generation when we were kids. I don't know, perhaps. But we didn't really have a good excuse. We just needed 40 identical costumes, really. Because of the video, we used them on the press photos. Because of the press photos, we started using them on stage, and then we just stuck by them. And I've had to come up with like 1,000 good explanations why we have the tracksuit. But there isn't a good one. It really isn't. You know, our shows are kind of like a workout, so it's a perfect outfit for us. And, you know, people can think a lot of funny thoughts about why we're wearing them. But the most important thing, and this is a good tip for all new bands, get yourself stage costumes, because it alters your personality a little. You get into that zone, even though you're tired or sick or whatever. So it's our superhero costumes.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Devo and the Talking Heads, but I'm wondering, being from Norway, what did you listen to growing up as a kid?
Well, the very first band I remember listening to was Kiss. But then I was probably 6 years old. And, well, when I was a child, I don't know, everything, all sorts of different stuff. But the first music that really, really got me involved in music was thrash metal. Specifically bands like Sepultura and Slayer and Creator and Testament, Metallica, Anthrax, all of that stuff. So the first band I had was actually called Axe. It wasn't called Axe, but the Norwegian word for Axe. We even had a song called Motor Axe. That's the first thing I started playing. And Kettle started off playing punk rock. But I was growing, when I was 12, I had a radio show called Do What You Like, named after a digital underground 12-inch. And even that show that I had when I was 12 was like a theme show, where one of the shows would sort of present raga or blues or jazz or metal or whatever. So I think I was, when I was a kid, I was listening to all sorts. The same week I could listen to a new release by Diamanda Galas and Bad Brains and Happy Mondays and Stone Roses and De La Soul. So I think the reason why Data Rock, the music is like diverse and eclectic, is probably because I was listening to everything. And that's a cliche. Most people say that. I like everything. But we were actually listening to everything.
Okay, well, as a band who listens to everything and plays a little bit of everything, what do you think of your fellow Norwegian tracksuit-wearing band, Hurrah Torpedo?
Oh, man. What do I think about them? I don't feel any relationship to that band at all. But, I mean, they're doing their thing. They're not the only band in Scandinavia wearing tracksuits, though. You have a band from Sweden called Quit Your Day Job. And you have a band from Denmark, a wonderful band from Denmark called Who Made Who. The only band that wears tracksuits that I can relate to is Who Made Who and Beastie Boys.
Yeah. Well, is there a track off of your album that you're absolutely sick of performing live that you wish would just go away?
You know, as I said, we've done so many shows in so many countries, and that sounds like something that could become boring. But because we play so many different places, like we've never been here before, we've never been to Brazil or Argentina before either. Every time you play your songs for a new audience, the song becomes fresh for you too, because you know the audience has never heard it before, and so I'm guessing you're thinking about Fa Fa Fa.
It could be.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem with Fa 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 is that's the most, well, it's not very well known, but that's the song that most people know if they attend our show. So, you know, we know that people are waiting for that song, and they're not really there to listen to any of the other songs. And like, okay, we're playing 17 songs, and the only song they really want to hear is number 17. That can be a little bit annoying. Not annoying, but frustrating. Not frustrating, but, you know, it's in your head. You know what's happening. They're just waiting for that one song they've heard. But, no, I'm not sick of playing it, because the atmosphere is always great when we play Fa Fa Fa. Everybody's singing along and dancing, and you can't get sick of that, you know?
Well, like you said earlier, Data Rock has played in about 28 countries. Do you have any exotic stories from playing abroad?
I have two. Once, when we came to Australia, this story is so stupid, you won't believe it, but it's true. It's a true story. So Data Rock comes to Australia, we land on the airport in Sydney, and we're going through customs. We're not going through costumes. And then one of the guys working in customs, he says, "Well, are you a band?" I said, "Yeah." "Are you from Norway?" "Yes." "Are you Data Rock?" "Yes." And then he starts singing Fa Fa Fa. And then all the other guys working there joins in. So it ends up like a scene in a musical. Everybody working in the airport area started singing Fa Fa Fa. That's weird. That's not supposed to happen. That was weird. We played a show in St. Petersburg in Russia this summer, and that was insane, because usually when we play a show, you really have to look for a poster. You never see your own posters when you come to a big city like St. Petersburg. And then we're driving through the city, and we see a big poster, then we see a gigantic poster, then we see a billboard poster, and then we see posters everywhere. And that city is so beautiful, and it's a crazy city, fantastic. You know about the city your entire life, and the first time you come there, your posters are everywhere. That was very special, that was crazy, insane. Probably sounds like a boring story, it's not very exotic, but to me it's one of those landmark moments.
All right, well, I always ask a handful of silly questions to my musicians, and the first one is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
No, not really. No, no. I don't. I don't know. I can't think right now.
Okay, what's your drink of choice?
It's vodka tonic. I drink a lot of vodka tonic. I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. I have a split personality, though.
All right, and how do you feel about eyeliner?
Eyeliner looks good on you. I don't know if it looks good on me.
Well, do you have anything you'd like to say to your fans listening to this or someone trying to get into your music?
Well, first of all, if you ever go to a show, you shouldn't expect an electronic duo. Our live shows are a full rock show with lots of musicians and great atmosphere. And we do play everything live. So Data Rock shouldn't be perceived as an electronic duo. It's an international movement.